several.
Okay.
Time of dance. 25.
Whatever, it's fine.
It's comfortable.
A sauna.
It doesn't feel like a sauna. You just think it is because the temperature sets.
Think of your yeah. Statue, baby.
I bet you there's no air blowing out right now.
Okay.
That's on recording.
The Gemara.
Obviously.
The Gemara says, this is one of the four. The Gemara says that in Kategor Nasa Sanegor, okay? In Kategor Nasa Sanegor, the Seder, this is the principle of Rav Chisda that we're trying to apply. In Kategor Nasa Sanegor, the Gemara on the one hand qualifies this in all kinds of ways and says it only applies if it meets a whole bunch of criteria. If it's Kote, I'm not putting down the whole list, but just a few of them. Kote, Baal, Yitzna, Em, or Yitzka, Em.
What is this?
What does that mean?
These are the criteria. This is when this principle applies. In Kategor Nasa Sanegor, that you can't use, for example, right, Zahav for Kapara on Yom Kippurim. Right? That idea applies if it's Chote Baal Yitna, or Yitzka Er, if it is, for example, well, let's take the two most important ones for us at the moment. If it's Yipnim, if it's in the Karshim as opposed to outside, right? These are the various criteria.
What are the things that you want to ask with that last one?
Chote Baal Yitna Er, Yitzka Er.
What does that mean?
Okay, that the Chote, in this case, part of the Kohen Gadol, should not go in as, you know, in adorning himself or showing off or, you know, be haughty with this gold. Okay? At the same time, the Gemara also says that in addition to applying to this, to the Zahav, going to the Kapar, etc., but it also applies, we extend it to the case of Shofar, okay, and particularly in terms of a shofar of a cow, para. Okay? And the question is that if we're extending this to shofar, how does that work? Because it doesn't fit really any of the criteria. It certainly doesn't fit the last criteria of it being lifnim, right?
Meaning inside the question.
Inside the question. Says the Gemara that, and this is the key line of the Gemara, that Kavan Dilizikaron, since it is used for Zikaron, explains Rashi, right, that it is for the per Kavan Dilizikaron Ka'ati, Kilifnimdani Shofar Nami, Avagav, Diletle, Dilepe Mishum Chote Bal Yakrib, Dilepe Mishum Chote Bal Yitna'e. It doesn't have either of these criteria, right? It's not this and it's not this. It's not fancy, it's not showing off, it's not going into the Kash Kashim. Keva Dulsi Karon Ka'ati Kibig De Kohen Shabifnim Dami, because it's Lizi Karon, what does Lizi Karon mean?
Remembrance.
For us to be right, King Lizi Karon, it's in order that we be remembered in a positive way, and King Lizi Karon, who, therefore, Kibifnim Dami. It's like it is.
Why is that a therefore for that? I don't understand that.
Well, we're going to have to understand.
Well, that kind of makes sense, no?
We're going to have to understand.
I mean, that's very, like, Drushy type of sense.
Right? Bear with me. We'll get there. That's what I'll touch on. Okay. Bear with me for 1 minute.
I'm confused.
You're supposed to be confused.
We haven't started to be confused yet. Just bear with me for a minute. Okay. Okay, we've got to focus, okay? We have a long journey here. Okay. In a short while. So, Rashi, please note that Rashi points out that it's not only that this kibifnim dami is not only explaining why criteria number two applies to the case of shofar, it also is needed for criteria number one. Right? It's needed for both. Correct?
Can you explain that?
What is kibifnim dami?
Yeah. Really confusing.
Okay. We have a principle in kategor nasa sanegor.
Right.
Okay, we understand that principle. You can't use something that we that you know
incriminates.
Exactly, thank you. That incriminates us in order to for our kapara to exonerate us on Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, we want to apply this idea, which is about the Big Day Zav, that Kohen Gadol doesn't want to into Kosher Hashem with Big Day Zav. We want to extend that to not using a keren, a horn of a cow on Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Why? Because the cow's horn reminds us of the Chet HaEgel, just like the gold reminds us of Chet HaEgel. Okay? The golden calf. So there are two components. It's the golden and the calf. Right? We're good?
Yes.
Okay, then what is the horn?
Now,
okay, but that is how
there are various criteria for this principle to apply. It only applies if the chote is showing off, adorning himself. Okay, number one. Number two, there are more, but these are the two we're going to focus on. Number two, it has to be lifnim. It has to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, not just any place.
Oh, so that's
so the question is, how does that work with shofar? How does that apply to shofar? Shofar is blown, not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's blown in your shul, my shul, at home, wherever, it's blown anywhere. It's not, has nothing to, no one's blowing the shofar in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So if this principle only applies in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, why are we talking about by shofar? There's no relevance. How is it relevant to shofar? Okay? That's what the Gemara asks. The Gemara answers a very enigmatic answer. The Gemara gives a very cryptic answer. And there are all kinds of perushim and drashas and all kinds of stuff about this, and you'll hear this talked about all the time. And they say that, no, because it brings our memory before God, therefore it's as if, you know, at some level, we consider it as if the Tiyat Shofar is taking place where?
In the
Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay? We view it as if it's taking place in Kodesh HaKadoshim.
But does the Gemara just tie the two together, or is it the Mishnah that ties the Shofar?
The Gemara.
Oh, okay.
Ullah. Okay, is everyone more or less with me so far?
That's the answer.
So the Gemara's answer, these five words are the answer. Kevan de lezikaron, who, since it's for the purpose of bringing our memory before Hashem and upon His light, therefore it is kibifnim dami. It's like it's bifnim. Now, what the Gemara says and what it means are two different issues. Okay? Now please follow me carefully, because it's going to be a little bit deep. And I'll test, but you have to follow carefully. Let me first tell you how it's usually understood and why I think it's impossible, despite the fact that some great people say it. I don't think it's possible, and what I think it means, okay? The three stages.
Could you say the Rashi thing again?
Okay. Yeah, Rashi says that this answer is not only explaining why it's lefnim, it's also explaining why it's yitna, it's considered yitna.
But you didn't answer that one yet.
Did you?
Rashi says that this answer, came with the Corona, answers both.
How? But how did it answer the first one?
Well, we don't know how it answers anything. So there are all kinds of explanations how it answers it. This and that, whatever. I'm not going to go through it. We don't have time. You can see it in any number of Svarim. I want to just deal with what... Okay. Please follow carefully. The way it's usually understood is that we view it as if, when I'm standing there blowing the shofar, it's ki'ilu, I'm in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Okay? On some level, on some metaphysical level. That's how they understand this Gemara. I'm saying that's how most people, that's how many Mepharshim explain it this way.
I don't understand how that could be a basis just because it says
that. Mepharshim means like, you know, like contemporary Mepharshim. The problem is, aside from that, we have to explain why that should be so and what that means and all that, but it's a more fundamental problem. Okay, more fundamental problem. Okay, I'm blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, right? I'm standing there blowing my shofar on Rosh Hashanah, okay? Says the way that this Gemara is understood by many people, so how they, you know, many Rabbanim explain, Ken Zikron, who it's as if I'm the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So, one second. Forget about the fact that it's a cow's horn or not a cow's horn. Okay, I have a nice ram's horn. Okay, so I don't have to worry about this problem. Beautiful. If I'm considered to be as if I'm in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, mm-hmm. I have a whole slew of problems. First of all, I'm not a Kohen, let alone a Kohen Gadol. What am I doing in the Kodesh HaKodeshim?
Maybe you are.
But you're not.
He knows he's not.
But I'm saying,
you know if you're
no, why not the Kohen Gadol be blowing it?
No, but that's not...
We're talking about today. Okay.
Your shul, the Kohen Gadol, blew the shofar.
Okay, I lied. I'm sorry.
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I'm saying in every shul, in every home, in every place that the shofar is blown, right, it's not the Kohen Gadol blowing the shofar. So if we are going to somehow explain, this is why I'm not going to bother to try to explain, because it doesn't make sense. If I'm going to somehow explain why, in you know, halachically it's considered as if I'm in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, then I have a whole list of problems. Let's say I'm blowing the shofar. Okay, I'm the Baal Tokeya for this Rosh Hashanah. So I have a problem. First of all, I'm not a Kohen Gadol. Second of all, I'm not even a Kohen. Third of all, I'm not wearing Bigdei Kahuna. Fourth of all, I'm Tamei. Fifth of all, I don't have the right kind of haircut. And then maybe my... Do you understand what I'm saying?
And there's no Mikdash.
Isn't it... I'm saying there... No, but I'm saying, if it's considered, it's Ki'ilu. I'm in the Beit HaMikdash and I'm in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Then there are, I am violating a whole bunch of Yisroim that are high of me, so like, this is not good. You see what I'm saying? So how do I selectively, if I'm going to say, and you can give me whatever beautiful, and they're beautiful explanations, that because it's Lezik Haro, and we consider it as if I'm in the Kodesh HaKodeshim when I'm blowing the shofar, but forgive me, it just seems to me like that's a stupid thing to say, because if you're going to say that, then you can't just pick and choose. And there are a whole list of halachot that pertain to doing something in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. And I just mentioned a few of them, a few of the most obvious ones. There are many others. How can I begin to say, in terms of this one halacha, it's as if I'm bifnim? Right? But I have one foot in and one foot out. And like, you know, in terms of tumah, I'm outside. In terms of... It doesn't make any sense. Yes.
Maybe it's not, like, literal. Maybe it's, like, saying how, like, it's... Well, he's like saying it as like if it's
right,
like, so a literal like thing,
yeah.
Like whatever. Let's
no,
say it's just like saying like we're not blowing the show, like we're blowing the shofar as if it's in the Kodesh HaKodeshim because like we want to like not remind Hashem that like it kind of makes sense because if we like we don't want to remind Hashem of like Kriyat HaEgel and like the cow really does like we're the cow was
not the Seder, but my point is that if. There, if it's going to say that I'm going to consider, for some reason, I consider it that I'm doing this ki'ilu in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, I'm just saying, why in terms of this halacha do I consider as if I'm in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, but for another halacha, I don't consider as if I'm in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. You see what I'm saying? You'd be consistent. Like,
but that's not even what we're talking about. Like, we're just talking about
it. Right, I know that, but...
Right.
Okay.
That's what it says.
Bear with me. By the way, I'm not asking a kasha on the Gemara. Let me be clear. I'm not asking a kasha on the Gemara. Everyone calm down for a minute. I'm not asking a kasha on the Gemara. I'm asking a kasha on a particular understanding of the Gemara. Okay? I'm asking one to save your comments just a little bit, only because, and you know I don't do this 99% of the time, but because I want to get this done before Yom Kippur Kli Neder, and we only have 35 minutes, so let's try to... okay. I know, it's not your fault, it's my fault, but nonetheless, I wanted to be a chance to prepare. Let me run through, get to the point, and again, I don't get to everything, but let me try to get to a little bit of the perspective because it's really, really important. Okay, what I'm saying is as follows. I think that the Gemara does not mean that it says, if I'm in the Kodesh HaKodeshim. I still think that's what the words mean, and that's what it's trying to say. It's saying something very different, maybe in a subtle way, but it's a very important difference. And if we understand it, it will answer really all the questions that people asked as they were preparing, as I read the Gemara earlier. Now, there are lots of questions that were raised that are beautiful questions, like, you know, why does it make a difference whether it's Yitnaya or whether it's Bifnim, or why is it Kib Bifnim? All these questions, Bezra Hashem will be answered in the next few minutes. Just bear with me for a few moments, okay? Point number one. But I need to put a few facts before you, a few perspectives and facts. Once we have those few perspectives and facts, you'll understand how it all fits together. Okay, so please bear with me.
Okay,
sure. Yes. I know. Also, for mitzvah, for sure. That's what we have to do. Okay. So please follow the father. Here, please, just look. Follow carefully. Point number one. The Gemara tells us, Chazal tells us in many places, that the way we approach Rosh Hashanah is very, very special. We approach Rosh Hashanah, we approach the din of Tishrei in a very unusual way. Right? This is what the Psik does about, for example. We approach, and listen very carefully to this idea, we approach Rosh Hashanah on the one hand as Yom HaDin, as being a tremendously serious and awesome, terrifying event and being judged of Chule. But there's a context, as we know, is what the Torah talks about, based on Chazal, again, according to Midrash, what the Psikta talks about, the idea that we approach Rosh Hashanah with an air of confidence, even of joy. That on the one hand, we believe we're being judged, but we believe that we're being judged with this, with the deck stacked in our favor. We believe that we're being judged with a, by a judge that is prejudiced and has an agenda to be mezakas. Right? That's our approach to Rosh Hashanah. That we go into Rosh Hashanah celebrating the fact that it's Yom HaDin. And we have a Yom Tov meal, and we dress in Yom Tov clothing, and we have, and there's, it's a muted simcha. It's not a, you know, simcha without bounds. We have, we don't say Hallel, for example, and there are limits to the simcha and the outward expression of it, but truly it's a very important inward simcha, and even one that expresses itself in terms of things that we do, and we have a Yom Tov meal, and it's a Yom Tov. And it's a Yom Tov because we believe that God wants to exonerate us. Okay? That doesn't mean we're not being judged. It doesn't mean that's it, but we have confidence in the outcome, and that it's a din that is being judged out of Rahman. That's number one. That Chazal tells us very clearly. And the Tur introduces the halacha of Rosh Hashanah this way, right? That we wash and we take a haircut and we get and we come into Yom Tov in a very confident and happy way. Okay, let's say. Furthermore, Chazal expressed the idea that our judgment, which is a judgment in order to be found, L'schut, is expressed particularly by the shofar. Okay? That the shofar is the vehicle for being male zifonecha, Mr. Marcin Rashaim Shayim, that it's male zifonecha, lefanai l'tova, that Hashem remembers us in a positive light through the medium of the shofar. Okay?
Who says that?
So then the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says it, and it's reflected in the Psikta. The Chazal says very clearly that the shofar is to be ma'aleh ar zikaron, l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'tova, that we should be remembered in a positive light. And in other words, what I'm saying is that the shofar is a tangible symbol of this idea that we're being judged, but we're being judged with the goal of our being found, right, to be deserving, not to be found. That's what's on the opposite. That's the idea that emerges from all these various chazals. Correct? Right? And so that much, I think, is clear in these various midrash and chazals. The Ran says something incredibly beautiful, and I think revolutionary. And the Ran was one of the great, great, great Rishonim. And the great Rishonim. Ran says the following idea. Ran, in his parish on the Rif on Rosh Hashanah, the first parak says an incredible idea. I was, the first time I saw this Ron, I couldn't believe it. Ron says like this. He asks, if you say like Rabbi Eliezer that the world was created in Tishrei, and Adam HaRishon's judgment was in Tishrei, I understand why the day of judgment, why Yom HaDin is in Tishrei. But say, but if we say, not like Rabbi Eliezer, but like Rabbi Yishmael, that the world was created in Nisan. So why is the judgment, why do we have Yom HaDin in Tishrei? God can judge us any day of the year. Why Davka in Tishrei? Says the Ran, a beautiful idea, which he's not saying just according to Rabbi Yishmael, he's saying in general we could say it, but he needs to say it particularly according to Rabbi Yishmael. He says like this. Why is it the judgment is then? V'nira li, the end of the first line in the Ran, listen carefully to this line, V'nira li, Shiratza Hamakom Lizakod Israel Bedinam. Hashem wanted to be mizake us, to find us not guilty, to find us right meritorious in our, to find us victorious in our judgment. Viratza Ladun et Israel Bizman Shehukba Lekapara Uslichan. Therefore God wants to judge us in the context at a time, in the context of a time that was established as a time of forgiveness and kapara and shalafish and itratze akash baruch hu b'yom kippurim. Since Hashem forgave us on Yom Kippur, it was established hukba yom slicha lidorot. It set the tone that Yom Kippur is a day of forgiveness for all generations. What does Ran say? Ran says something unbelievable. I don't know about you, but growing up, I always understood. I think it's how it was taught to me, but it's how I always understood that Yom Kippur is a reaction to Rosh Hashanah. We're judged on Rosh Hashanah, right? And the reaction to that is we need kapara for the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. Anyone understand what I'm saying? Right? Mm-hmm. Says the Ran turns on its head. The Ran says just the opposite. That the anchor of the Tishrei progression is not, what's Koveh is not Rosh Hashanah. It's not that we start with Rosh Hashanah and then therefore we continue on to Aser Yimei Tshuva and then to Yom Kippur. But it's the opposite. The center of the whole process is Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur is a day of Kapara. Therefore Hashem wanted to make the Yom HaDin be on the Rosh Chodesh of that month, namely on Rosh Hashanah. Right? The Rosh Chodesh of that month is Rosh Hashanah. That's what the judgment is. But the whole point of having Rosh Hashanah when it is not as a reaction to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is not a reaction to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a reaction to Yom Kippur, so to speak. Rosh Hashanah is when it is because it's put into the orbit of Yom Kippur. Okay? That's what the Ran says. It's an unbelievable idea.
But what does it actually change?
So, well, let's go further and let's see. It's not a question of what changes, it's a question of what helps us understand. What helps us understand is the following. Yom Kippur is a day of kapara for what? Chet Ha'eka, right? It's the day of the giving of the second lucha, the day we're forgiven for Chet Ha'eka. Right? It's kapara for Chet Ha'eka. That's key. Ran doesn't spell this out in so many words, but it's clear that that's what he means. It says, since it was the day when we were forgiven, you really, you know, well, we're forgiven for what? Forgiven for Chet Ha'eka. And there's much that's fascinating to talk about. And beautiful, you know, it's an incredible idea that if you read Parsha Achrayimot, the Meshech Chachma quotes the name of the Vilna Gaon, that if you read Parsha Achrayimot, which is of course the Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Kippur, you read Achrayimot, it's fascinating because the beginning of Achrayimot doesn't talk about Yom Kippur. And the end, right, the end, in the beginning talks about Aharon, Bezot Yavo Aharon al HaKodesh, describes what Aharon is supposed to do, then same thing about Yom Kippur. Bezot Yavo Aharon al HaKodesh, period. The end of the parasha then talks about the Kohen Gadol, not Aharon, and Davka talks about Yom Kippur. Says the Gra, says the Vilna Gaon, that, and there are earlier sources for it as well, really sources for it in Chazal, but yeah, the Gra says very clearly that the beginning of the parasha is talking davka about Aaron. And Aaron could go into the Kodesh Kodeshim any day of the year, as long as he did the Avodah. The Gra says. The end of the parasha says that Ann, the Kohen Gadol, who is the replacement for Aaron, does a davka on Yom Kippur. Okay? It's a beautiful idea. It's my MS, Lucy's idea. I'm just saying that the beginning of the parasha talks about Aaron, and then it's not specifically talking about Yom Kippur. But then it continues on and talks about specifically the Kohen Gadol. What's the Kohen Gadol? Kohen Gadol is the replacement for Aaron, right? So therefore, as the Torah describes in many places, so the point is that the Kohen Gadol, Davka, on Yom Kippur. But the point I'm bringing out is as follows. We all know, that Aaron, right, the original presentation of the Avodah of Yom Kippur in the Torah, talks specifically about Aaron. And then it goes on to talk about the Kohen Gadol who replaces him. Okay? So, again.
What parasha is this?
This is Achrayimot. Okay. So, The point is like this. So, when I was a kid, I thought that why does Aaron do the Avodah of Yom Kippur?
Because he's a
Kohen Gadol. And the Kohen Gadol is the Avodah of Yom Kippur. And then, get a little bit older and hopefully wiser and saw the Sfas, etc. It's clear that the Gra, etc., and different pieces of it, the opposite is true. That the Avodah on Yom Kippur is really, at its root, not about the Kohen Gadol, it's about Aaron. Why Aaron? Why is Aaron do the Avodah on Yom Kippur? Because Yom Kippur is the kapara for what? What's the foundation of Yom Kippur? It's kapara for?
Beit
Egel. Who was it who did the Egel?
Aaron.
And therefore the person who leads the kapara for Beit Egel is the Aaron. The Kohen Gadol is then the continuation, this idea that Aaron does. In other words, when you don't have Aaron anymore, so then he's replaced by his son, his grandson, whatever the case may be. But the basic idea is that Aaron, right, and this is the whole idea of the Gemara Yuma about that a person's Avero, Da'idei Tshuva, can be turned into Tzchuyot. And the point is, it's an amazing thing, Aaron does the ultimate Avodah of the year. Why? Because he's a person that's Chayav Egel. That's a mind-boggling idea. But the point that I want to bring out is this. Yom Kippur, right, the Avodah, the Kapara of Yom Kippur, is rooted in the Kapara of... No, the Kapara of... Beit Egel. Every year, what we're doing is, we're saying to Hashem, just like you forgave us for Beit Egel, right? Forgive us for everything else. And that's, we reenact this year after year, with the Kohen Gadol replacing the Aaron, etc. Please bear with me just a little bit. It's some complicated all questions, but I think it would be easier if we do it this way. Let me go a step further. So the Ran says that not only is that the Pshat in Yom Kippur, right, but by extension, Rosh Hashanah is an extension of that idea. Meaning that because this is a time of Hashem forgiving us for Chet Egon by extension of other things, so therefore, this is the time when we have the din, so that it will be a din where we go into the din how? We go into the din happy and confident that Hashem is going to be, give us a favorable day. Okay? You say that?
But it's in the... Okay,
Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Ran, beautiful. Let's go a step further. Says the Gemara the following. Kevan del zikaron hu, kibifnem dali. Okay, I want to tell you a pshat in the Gemara, and then I want to show you, I think Rashi says it. You have to read Rashi very carefully. One of the tragedies is, when people learn Rashi on the Gemara, they think that Rashi is there to help you translate the words. And he is, but not only. Very often we forget that Rashi is one of the great Mishonim. When we read Rashi and the Gemara, and Rashi and the Gemara is much more important than Rashi and Chumash. Not say Rashi and Chumash is not important, but Rashi and Gemara is infinitely more. The place of Rashi and the Gemara is critical. Understand that Rashi very often will subsume in one word, in one letter sometimes, certainly in one word or a few words, an entire approach to the entire sugya. And there's so much there, and we don't realize it because Rashi wrote so tersely and so concisely as opposed to many of the other Rishonim will spell out what they're trying to say. But in any case, what does the Gemara say? So you should know. When the Gemara says that X, in this case, the shofar, is kibifnim dami, X is like Y, there are two possibilities of what it means. Okay, and there are a number of sugyot where you see this in terms of how different Rishonim read the Gemara. It can mean that kevan lezikaronhu, I'm just saying textually, it can mean two things. I don't think contextually, it can mean two things here, but it can mean two things in terms of text. So, Kam to Zikar, who kibit nimdami, it is as if I am bifnim. Right? I blow the shofar, it's as if I'm doing it in the Karsh Karshan. That's one way to read the Gemara. I think it's a long way to read the Gemara, but it's one way to read the Gemara. If you read the Gemara that way, you're left with so many things that don't make sense. Or you can read it differently. It doesn't mean that X is as if it's Y, but rather that X and Y are equivalent. X, as far as, for all intents and purposes, for what we're discussing, X and Y are the same thing. Not that X is as if it's Y, but that X and Y are parallel. Okay? Not that X is Y, but that X is equivalent to Y. You understand what I'm saying?
Sorry, what is X and Y?
X and Y is, basically what this is saying is that shofar equals the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim case, right?
Okay.
So what I'm saying is the following, that it's not that the Gemara is saying, it's not that the Gemara, let me explain this, if you don't know what I'm going to explain. It's not that the Gemara is saying that we consider it, we view it, al pi halacha, as if the Baal Tokeya is standing in the Karsha. Forgive me, that's shtuyot. Why would we consider this if he's in the Karsha Karshim? If we consider him in the Karsha Karshim, what do you mean? He's not Kohen Gadol, he's not Tahor, he's not this, he's not that. How can you possibly consider him if he's in the Karsha Karshim? There's no reason to say that. He's not saying that. It's saying simply that this case and this case, in terms of our discussion, are equivalent. They boil down to the same thing. What does that mean? So let's go back to the Gemara and understand. What's Ein Kategor Nasa Saneka? What's that concept? So the Yerushalmi formulates it like this, and it's clear, Rabbi Chanan, that's how we read our Gemara as well, that's how Rashi read our Gemara, that's how the great Yerushalmi read this Gemara. Says the Yerushalmi, bottom of the page, Mipnei ma ein mishamesh bebigdei zahav, Mipnei ha-ga'ava, because of gaiva, because of arrogance, because of hubris. I'm Rabbi Simon. Al shame al titaiter lefnei amelach. I'm Rabbi Levi. Shein kategor nasa sanegor. Et mog tifayem vayasulam elohei zahav. Vachshav uomeiru mishamesh bebigdei zahav. Ein kategor nasa sanegor. What does it mean? It doesn't mean that, well, if God sees me wearing gold, he's going to be reminded of chayta egel. You know what I'm saying? That's not the point. God doesn't need our reminder or not reminder. Well, let's hope that God forgets about this and then we're that's shtuyot. So what it means. Ein kategor nasa sanegor means the following. And it's an expression, but it has a certain meaning. What does it mean? So the Yerushalmi explains what it means, and that's the Pshat in the Bavli as well. It means like this. It means chote bal yitga'er, as the Rabbi Yochanan writes. Chote bal yitga'er, or you want to say yitna'er, it's the same idea, but basically yitga'er expresses it better. Chote bal yitga'er means Aaron goes into the Karsha Kodashim. The fact that Aaron can go before Hashem into the Karsha Kodashim on Yom Kippur, on the day that God forgives us with Egel, what is that a statement of? The fact that Aaron can go into Hashem's presence, into the Karsha Kodashim, it's a statement that what? Kapar, God's forgiven us for Chayta Egel. God says, I want you in my presence. Aaron, I know you did Chayta Egel, I forgive you, come back into my presence, come back to the Karsha Kodashim. It's okay. Says the Gemara, it's one thing to be happy about that. It's one thing to be confident about that. It's another to be callous and arrogant. Right? It's one thing for Aaron to come into the Kodesh HaKodeshim despite having done Cheira Egel because Hashem has forgiven him, and it's a statement that Hashem embraces him and says, come back, my son, I forgive you, it's okay. But to go in there dressed up in gold, you have no shame that you did Cheira Egel. You're not embarrassed about it. You're like, you know, showing off. Here, I'm going to adorn myself in gold, and I have no, you know, I don't feel at all uncomfortable because this is reminiscent of the Cheira Egel that I did.
This is
the source. Says the Gemara, that's why the fact that there's gold in the Karsha Karshim doesn't interest me. It's not a question of whether God's going to remember or not. God remembers everything. It's not whether God remembers or not. So if there's gold in the Karsha Karshim, that's not the point. And it doesn't matter if Aaron is using the gold to start. But if Aaron is using the gold in a way that's like arrogant, that shows callousness, that shows he doesn't care. It's like, it's not just that he's confident that God forgives him, but that he is... That it's not even an issue. It's not even like, you know, it's Muvan me love, it's magiyali. You know, what do you mean? Of course, you know, well, what's the big deal? That's already crossing the line, right? And that's what Gemara says, ain't kategar nasa sanegar. Says the Gemara, listen carefully to how beautiful the Gemara's answer is. Says the Gemara, blowing the shofar is the equivalent of going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because blowing the shofar, why do we blow the shofar? Because it's lezikaron. It's meant to be, to bring our memory before Hashem in a positive light. It's meant to be part of Hashem's forgiving us, Hashem vindicating us on Rosh Hashanah, right? And Davka Rosh Hashanah, because it's when God forgave us for Chayit HaEgel and Tishrei, as the Ran says. And as the Chazal say, the shofar is a symbol of the fact that we have this confidence that Hashem is really going to judge us favorably. And that's what the shofar is. It says the Gemara, cave unto the Zikaron, who, since, and this is referring back to early Gemara, since the shofar is the order that we remembered for Schut, since it's really the same thing as our going into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, in what sense? In the sense that it's a symbol of our confidence in Hashem's forgiving us for Chayit HaEgel, and by extension everything else, but as the model of Chayit HaEgel, it says the Gemara, it's one thing for us to blow the shofar, wearing nice clothing, you know, and we're going to go have a nice lunch, and we had a nice supper the night before, and then we're, you know, celebrating, we're in Yom Tov mode, that's all very nice. But I'm going to take the shofar, right, which is a symbol of Hashem's forgiving us, Brachei Te'egel, and therefore judging us positively, fully. And I'm going to take that shofar, and it's going to be a shofar of a cow? Like, really? I'm going to go with such callousness, with such, you know, a smug approach, and, you know, I'm not even concerned about bringing up the issue of Chayit HaEgel, because, you know, God's going to give me a good judgment no matter what. It doesn't matter. That's already too far. You understand what I'm saying? What?
That's like a slap in the face.
1,000%. So therefore, says the Gemara, that it's only when it's bifnim, it's only when it's bifnim, not because technically it has to be in the Kodesh Kodeshim, outside the Kodesh Kodeshim, means when Aaron is going into Kodesh Kodeshim, that's when Hashem is, so to speak, forgiving us for Chayit HaEgel. At that moment, Aaron can't be wearing gold in order to, you know, chote ba'yit ga'en. That's why it says chote. Why chote? Why are we calling it chote? The Kohen Gadol is chote? No, because it means that it's the Kohen Gadol is representing Aaron with the forgiveness of Chayit HaEgel. That's why it's called chote. Chote ba'yit ga'en. Right? And therefore, says the Gemara, so that's why, and the equivalent is the case of the shofar. The shofar, it's not that the shofar, it's as if I'm blowing the Kodesh HaKodeshim. It's that blowing the shofar is the same type of a statement as Aaron walking into the Kohen Gadol, into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. And since it's an equivalent statement about Kapara, about our confidence in Hashem forgiving us, b'chule, therefore I have to be sensitive to what I'm guilty about. So the Kav Tachton, I think, of this sugya is the Chazal are telling us that there has to be an izun, there has to be a balance. On the one hand, we go into the Yom Noram with a sense of joy, a sense of confidence, a sense of basking Hashem's chesed as well as din, but not a sense of callousness and like it's magiyali and like I, you know, of course, well, God has to forgive me and, you know, has to, and I don't have anything to be ashamed of and I don't have anything to be embarrassed about. I haven't done anything wrong. What it means, what's right? There has to be a balance of these two ideas. A balance of, on the one hand, of the yira, and on the hand, the idea of the abba. It has to be balanced. It has to be that on the one hand, that I go in with the assuredness of the shofar and of the avodah of the Yom Kippur that has this very, very positive message of Hashem is inviting us back into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, Hashem is inviting us back into His presence. But at the same time, that there has to be a certain hesitancy and a certain embarrassment, and a certain contriteness, a certain feeling that, like, you know, that we're not, but at the end of the day, we're not worthy, and that we have what to be ashamed of, and that. And there has to be a synthesis of those two ideas. And that, I think, is this idea of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. If you look at Rashi, I think it's very clear that this is how Rashi read the Gemara. And I think it's clearly Pshat and Yerushalmi and everything, but it's Pshat and Gemara, but it's how Rashi read the Gemara also, because if you look, Rashi, the last line and a half of Rashi says, Kevan lezi karam ka'ati kilifnim dami, right? Kifnim dami, what does Rashi say? Shofar nami. Afal gav de let ba mish let be mishum chote bal yakriv. I'm not going into the Kosh Krishna. But let be mishum chote bal yitka'et. And I'm not adorning myself with it. Kevan de zikaron ka'ati. Yes. Kevan de zikaron ka'ati. Now what should if you take the pshat that I'm rejecting, right? The pshat that I don't like here. What should Rashi have said? Kevan de zikaron ka'ati. What? Kilifnim dami. Right? There's that the blowing of the shofar is like what? It's as if I'm inside. Right? It's as if what is inside? It's as if the blowing of the shofar is inside. It's as if the person blowing the shofar is inside. Right? Or the shofar, or I, or the sound of the shofar, whatever you want to have, you want to find. That's not what Rashi says. That's not what Rashi says. Look at Rashi. Kevan zikaron ka'ati. Kibigde kohen gadol shelifnim dami. Hear what he says? Look closely at the last five words of Rashi. Last five words of Rashi. Rashi says that therefore, he doesn't say therefore, it says if I or the shofar, the sound of the shofar, whatever you'd like to say, Pam, which subshot you take, that it's as if the blowing of the shofar or the shofar sound or whatever it is in the Karsha Karshim. What does he say? It's therefore the shofar is like the case of the Big Day Kohen Gadol, which is inside.
Can you
read that one? Yeah. Last five words of Rashi. Kevan Lizikaronu. Right? Kibig Day Kohen Gadol Shalit Nim Dami. Rashi should have said just that he's talking about the shofar, right? He says the shofar is kibig de kohen gadol shulut nim dami. He doesn't say that the shofar is like it's inside. He says the shofar is like the big de kohen gadol which is inside. Right? That's the difference between the first shot and the second shot. That's the difference between saying that it says if the shofar is being blown inside, or the shofar blowing is inside, or the whatever it is, the tkiyah is inside, and saying that the shofar is the equivalent of the case of the Kohen Gadol, which is bifnim.
So
if you read Rashi carefully, it means that, I think that you see beferish that Rashi read the Gemara the way that I was suggesting, not the way that some other people read it. Because the way other people read it, Rashi should just said that the blowing of the shofar is as if it's bifnim. But he doesn't say that. He says that it is kevan de zikaron hu. So what does he say? Therefore, it is kibigde kohen gadol shelifnim. So what's... It is like the bigde kohen gadol which are inside. Not that it's like I am inside, the shofar is inside, the tkiah is inside. It's that the shofar case is like the bigde kohen gadol which are inside. The shofar itself is not as if it's inside at all.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Shani, you don't see it?
I see it, I just don't get why the first one went bad. So that way.
What's wrong with saying the first part? Because if you say that it's as if I'm inside the Kosh Koshim, so then I run into a lot of problems of the fact that I'm not qualified to be in the Kosh Koshim for many, many, many reasons. Right? And why am I doctor?
But it says as if, it doesn't say you are.
The Seder, so but when it comes to not using a shofar shofar, we don't say that, well, it's only as if, so don't worry about it. Right? So I'm saying, why do we pick and choose halacha here? Either it's as if I'm inside or it's not as if I'm inside. But what I'm suggesting is that it's not as if I'm inside at all. It's that in terms of this halacha, right, of not having this arrogant approach, there's an equivalency between the shofar and between the Big Day Kohen Gadol inside, because both are a statement of Hashem's kapara for us on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah and Hashem's kapara for Chayei Egel. And since they both serve the same basic purpose, the same issue of not being callous about it, not being arrogant about it, applies to both of them.
But then the one that you just gave us now, so how does that make it not a problem? Meaning, like, why would it's still in the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
No, see, it's not that it's considered as if I do this in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's
not me, but the clothing of the Kohen.
Yeah, the clothing of the Kohen Gadol are in the Kodesh HaKadoshim.
Right.
I'm saying, the point is, it's just saying that these two cases are equal. Rashi says that these two cases are equal in the sense that they both would be problematic if I, you know, don't have to show any embarrassment about having been involved with Kainaga.
So if you feel like you're not worthy, would be a problem.
Right. I need to have a certain amount of humility in both of these cases, mm-hmm. because they're equivalent. Beseder?
Beseder.
Okay, we are pretty much out of time, so the quick question.